I don't see anybody smiling out there. Oh, there's a few out there. And I do stand in need of those. As I sought the Lord's direction, what I might bring this evening to you and the scriptures, the thoughts, there were several. What seemed to tie them together was a traffic jam. How many of you enjoy driving? I see a few hands out there. You know, my dad told me when I was learning to drive that there would come a time in my life when I wouldn't care whether I drove a car or not. And I looked at him and I thought, this old guy's crazy. It's fun to drive, and it still is. But there are times in life when we hit a traffic jam, and I'm not talking about a wreck by the side or road construction that you can understand. I'm talking about a traffic jam that slows you down, inconveniences you, that's a hard one to say, until you get up there and there's nothing around. Now, I understand traffic jams. I understand what causes them. This, your pastor, does not understand them. He comes up to a traffic jam, and I've tried to explain several times to him that if there is a hesitation on anybody's part, it's multiplied by each car behind. A hesitation, an indecision, a distraction of any sort. It's multiplied by the cars that immediately follow, and it compounds to where it's seconds, minutes, sometimes hours, that you're inconvenienced. Steve doesn't understand that, but I do. Now, I think the Lord placed this traffic jam upon my mind that I might bring these scriptures together that we might better understand spiritually some of the jams we find ourselves in. And we do find ourselves in jams from time to time. The road we drive on is the same, the number of cars is the same, but the speed slows down. And spiritually, it's the same way from time to time. Another thing that the Lord placed upon my heart as I thought what I might bring is in the mornings, about every other morning, I empty the water buckets that have the squeegees that you clean your windshield with. If you don't, they start to stink. And dump those pails out on the asphalt, and I'm sure each of you have thrown a container of water out on asphalt or driveway and have watched it go down the slope in rivulets. Sometimes it comes together, sometimes it dissipates and comes back together, but there's always some left behind also. But as long as that slope continues, whichever way that water is influenced, it'll go that way. And it establishes each one of those molecules of water have a commonality one with the other. They're influenced by the slope, the porousness of the texture that the water is placed upon. Spiritually, we're the same way too. A group of people in the world are influenced by the pressures of the world, and they come together, they dissipate, some are left behind, some surge forward. A group of people in the world. But you, having come out this night, are not a group of people in the world. This is the body of Christ. We have assembled in the name of Jesus Christ, and this church bears His name. We studied about that in Sunday school this morning. This is the church of Christ. This body of Christ should not be unduly influenced by pressures from without, by the slope of the world. We shouldn't be influenced by those. What we should be influenced by is the love of Christ. The love of Christ that He has given to each one of you. That second song that we sang, what was it, 322? I'm going to lose all my notes and hopefully not my thoughts. The voice of Jesus has spoken to each of us. And He had a clear message. Each of you that have responded to that message have come out of the world, the pressures of the world. Well, you still feel them. You're still distracted by them. You're still inconvenienced by them from time to time, but they should not necessarily influence your spiritual life, your spiritual growth, if you will. A body of Christ should not be unduly influenced by the world, they should be influenced by the Spirit. By the Spirit. The Spirit moving within this body of Christ. The Spirit that I sought to place upon my heart, the words. And I pray that the Lord will enable me by the power of that Spirit to deliver His words to you. And that you, each of you, will receive them into your heart and grow. And not be influenced by the pressures of the world, the slope of the world, the jams of the world. A body of Christ should be influenced by the will of God. The will of God. Christ has not a will of His own. He listens to the will of His Heavenly Father. We, in turn, have given our will over to Christ, and that will is given over to the Father. A body of Christ who listens to the will of God, is responsive to the will of God, should not be distracted by the world, inconvenienced by the world, should not be undecided or hesitate because of the world. Turn in your Book of Mormons to Mosiah, the 9th chapter, page 259. And we find here a body of people that made that commitment one to the other. And they made a covenant with their Lord Jesus Christ. With their Lord Jesus Christ. Page 259. I'd like to start reading with verse 37. And He did teach them, this is Alma, and did preach unto them repentance and redemption and faith on the Lord. And I would hope within the Church of Christ there is not one minister that fails to commit to these three. Redemption, repentance, and faith on the Lord. And it came to pass that He said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And in another place in the Scriptures it talks about these very waters of Mormon, and it talks about the beauty that they contained. Each of you were baptized not in the waters of Mormon, in rivers and ponds and streams and creeks and founts, lakes, some the ocean. But yet there was still a special beauty within that body of water, for that body of water held the same promise as it did here. For those that believe. And the promise is that as you lay yourself down, as you come out a new creature and hands are laid upon you, what happens? It says that you come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people here desired that. And Alma went on to say, verse 39, And now as you are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. And as Alma presented these concepts, these ideals, this gospel of Christ to the people, what was their response? Hopefully, it is the same response that you bore. They here said, this is the desire of our heart. This is what we want. This is what I want to be a part of my life, my hope, and my trust. And I believe within my heart that each of you have made that commitment. I believe that. And it says that they clapped their hands together for the joy that welled up within them. The body of Christ will find His love, His Spirit, and His will. How many of you remember before cruise control on cars? That hadn't been that long ago, really, so you're really not admitting too much. I remember when cruise control first came out, I thought that's just another thing to go wrong. But you know, I wouldn't be without it today. As you get older and you experience the aches, the pains, the stiffness, the soreness, it's kind of nice to be able to shift position. You're center of gravity is quite a bit lower when you're older, I think. When you're younger, you don't experience those difficulties quite as much, but cruise control is great, and I wouldn't be without it. And as you set your vehicle on cruise control, some people are going to pass you. Some people are always in a hurry. You're going to find yourself passing some people also, because there are some that just take entirely too long to get where they want to go. Now, Bob's one of those that speeds around there. Well, not all the time, but sometimes. He'll pass you if you're on cruise control, guaranteed. Cruise control is great, and it'll make a restful trip, and it'll make it as peaceful as possible, but you still have choices along the way. You still have choices even with cruise control. Now, in a traffic jam, there's no free lane, but spiritually speaking, we have a cruise control of sorts spiritually. There's always a free lane that you can put your life in. And you can set it on a cruise control. And as I said before, some people are going to pass you. Some people lag behind, but it's going to make your trip as peaceful in Christ as you can. Turn to Helaman in the second chapter, page 551. Verse 26. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God. That doesn't mean just to read the word of God. That doesn't mean to just understand it and choose not to use it. It says to lay hold upon the word of God, to grasp hold upon the word of God. In the Book of Mormon, it talks about the rod of iron, doesn't it? And it says that those that were wise grabbed hold of that rod of iron and were able to make their way even through mists of darkness. They had a cruise control, if you will, to help them along the way. And it says to lay hold upon the word of God, which is what? Quick and powerful. In the Bible it says, a two-edged sword? Two-edged sword, right? The word of God will divide before and he who wields that sword. It will decide truth for you. It's a cruise control of sorts. Whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked. But those that will lay hold upon the word of God are to land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out. That's what the word of God does for you. It is a cruise control, if you will, for your spiritual life. Determine your speed. When you slow down, how fast you go will determine what is right for you, for those around you, if you allow it to. The word of God is a cruise control. Turn over to page 557, verses 74 and 5. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation. Now, we've been talking about a movement upon a physical road, a spiritual road. We've been talking about a movement. Now it's saying we are to lay down a foundation. We're to take precautions. We're to make sure that the road that we travel upon spiritually is sure. And it is sure if it is founded in Christ. In Christ and no other. A sure foundation, which is Christ the Son of God, that you must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind. Now, how many have been in a crosswind with a high-profile vehicle? You get whipped around quite a bit, don't you? To the extent that you're exposed to the elements, you'll feel them. Spiritually, to the extent that you expose yourself to the world, you'll feel those crosswinds. You'll feel that whirlwind. Some of us experience more than others. I look at my life, I look at the lives of brothers and sisters, and I wonder why I am so blessed to not have suffered as they. The Lord doesn't say that I'm any better, any worse off than any other. I don't determine my course that the Lord lays before me. Only God does. And God determines what we must suffer, what we must endure, but what happens when you endure? You find a peace that the world cannot accept. The world doesn't understand. You find an inner strength that is based in Him. You grow spiritually. Those that suffer in Christ and allow His Word to work within them, allow His foundation to settle firm and sure in their lives, will find, even with suffering, that there is joy, that there is peace, that there is growth, and there is hope. We find that in Christ. The world can't explain it, but spiritually it makes sense to those that have embraced Christ. A foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. That's what we should interest ourselves in, to not be distracted by the things on the outside, to not be undecided, to not hesitate because of what we feel physically and temporally, mentally, but to spiritually set our direction in Christ and to allow all these others to fall into place as God allows them to, as God will. That song number 390 said, a ruler came to Christ by night. A man by the name of Nicodemus. John 3, verse 8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You have that inner compass within you to determine direction, route, when you stop, when you speed up, when you are to rest, when you give it all you can. If you listen to that Spirit, even as Christ sought to share that truth with Nicodemus, and he said, it's even as a wind. You can hear it. You can feel it. But you have no idea where it comes from and where it goes. It's the will of God. And so it is with the Spirit. And what did Nicodemus said? How can these things be? How can these things be? We've been talking about a movement physically in this world that we find in driving our automobiles. We've been talking about a movement spiritually as we grow in Christ. But in the Galatians letter, it said in the 5th chapter, 1st verse, it says, stand fast. Stand fast. Therefore, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Yoke of bondage. Now at that time he was speaking about the law. And he was saying you're free from the law. You're free from the law in Christ. You've been called to higher law. Now in this great nation that we live in, we have laws that are founded upon Judeo-Christian ethic. And how far have we drifted from that right law to where we are now? Your brother this morning said, you can't let others do your thinking for you. You can't allow others to make decisions for you that affect your spiritual life and growth and health in Christ. You can't let others make those decisions for you, whether it's a UAW or United States government. You can't allow that. You've been called to higher power. And we are admonished to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ and set you free to stand fast. Turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Now, we are to stand fast. And if I were going to break that word down, I want to break it down into two words, and I want to look at the word stand first. We're told to stand. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord, to be committed to the Lord, to allow the Lord to be a part, a living part of your life, and in the power of His might. He has something. He doesn't want to leave us defenseless, without strength, in this world that we find ourselves in. Be strong in the Lord and in His might. Now, how do you have the might of the Lord with you? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And He has an armor for you and for I. And we are to do battle for who? Well, ourselves. For those we love, for the body of Christ, for Christ Himself. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, that's the wiles of the devil. And Andy said he is subtle. Subtle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I can determine whether I can out-wrestle Bob. Well, I don't think I could. I could outrun him, I think. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does it say we wrestle against? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How do you wrestle that? Well, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, I've got my loins girded with truth. I have the strength of my loins. The greatest strength you have is in your legs. And I have a breastplate of what? Of righteousness. Choosing to take a right path, a right choice each day, each choice of my life. That breastplate is ever before me. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, we're fighting a battle, but this gospel preaches peace, and we are to shod our feet with that. On that firm foundation. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, a shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sure knowledge that Christ is able to save your soul. The trust that you place in Him is to be a helmet upon our head, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now I skipped a verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And Andy described this day how? As the evil day. Surely ripening toward that evil day, to stand, to be able to stand in that evil day with the armor of God, and having done all, to stand. To stand. We're admonished to stand fast. Here we're told, after you've accomplished all this, and not just the armor of God, but to seek to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ and His Father. After having done all this, to stand, to fight the battle. And the Lord also told His people when to run at times too. But to stand, to make that choice to stand for Christ, to allow the world not to be a spiritual traffic jam for you. And it says that we are to stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. Now, we know what it is to stand, but what are we to fast ourselves to? To stand fast to what? What would you want to fasten your life to? You're going to make this choice to stand. What are you going to hold fast to? To Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is a rock. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. You know, I was watching on the History Channel that they're talking about the Rockies. I haven't caught them all yet, but, you know, that took quite a commitment to cross those Rockies for the first time, physically. They thought them to be, in the beginning, just a divide. You climb that divide, that summit, and it's free sailing down the other side. They didn't know them to be 200-300 miles wide, one chain after another. In some places, up to 5 chains wide. And it took quite a commitment to cross that. In this, it says, these things are in the Lord's hand. They're nothing to Him. He created them. He knows them. They are not His strength. His strength is far greater than anything that you can reach and feel, touch, smell, or be afraid of. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. I like that thought. I like that. It describes the things that are in His hand, things that are far greater than us, things that make us feel so... How many have seen the mountains for the first time or the ocean for the first time? Do you not feel small and inconsequential? But it says here, we are the people of His pasture. I like that. And the sheep of His hand. It's His pasture that we graze upon. It's His pasture that we travel upon. And He shelters us in His hand. We are His sheep. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. And that's from Psalms 95. Christ is a rock. And I want to fasten myself to a rock. And Christ is also an anchor. And you want to fasten yourself to an anchor. Something that is sure and fast. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. We don't just fasten ourselves to Christ. We do something after we have taken upon ourselves His name. And what does it say? It makes us, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works. How many of you abound in good works always? Well, I don't want to see your hands, not one raised. Being led to glorify God. Why do we do good works? Well, we feel good about it, for one thing. It is right if we have received the love of Christ within our heart and we reach out to others in that same love, but it glorifies God. Accomplishing good works. And you have to work at that. That from Ether, the 5th chapter, the 4th verse. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A sacrifice was offered up for you and I. A lasting sacrifice. Because Christ was without sin. A lasting sacrifice. And that from Hebrews, the 6th chapter. They were once a delightsome people, and they had Christ for their shepherd. Yea, they were led even by God the Father. But now, behold, they are led about by Satan, even as chaff is driven before the wind, or as a vessel is tossed about upon the waves, without sail or anchor, or without anything wherewith to steer her. And even as she is, so are they. How many times have you heard someone stand up and testify and they say, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. I don't know what I would do without God. But those that are without Christ in their life are even as they. Without sail, without anchor, without the means to steer in the world. That's a traffic jam. That's a spiritual traffic jam. We are to fasten ourselves to Christ, which is a rock, who is also an anchor, and he's also a high tower. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my rock. These are the words of David. He is my inner strength. He is my fortress. He is that perimeter that is without me that keep the enemy from coming up unaware. He is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And it says that we'll be saved from our enemies, but who is your biggest enemy? I know who my biggest enemy is, and I'm not looking at it. It's myself. Myself. Andy told us this morning that we have choice. I can choose to follow. I can choose to lag behind. I can choose to commit. I can choose to hold back. I can choose to covenant. I can choose to break. My biggest enemy is myself. Your biggest enemy is not before you, but within. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Now, what's David describing here that he was not privy to? A traffic jam. He really is a spiritual and physical traffic jam. When the waves of death compassed me, when I was slowed down by those things that were without that I had no control over, when my enemies came against me in waves, I was slowed down. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Road rage. When the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. How many have been in distress and called upon the Lord? All of you. I know that. How many, having called upon the Lord, have received help, strength, deliverance, support? He's heard your prayer. I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Even as insignificant as we think we are, Christ paid a price for you and I. He is there at the right hand of the Father. It says, in a temple, if you will. Holy and righteous. But yet your pleas, yet your cries, yet your prayers are heard of Him. Christ and His Father. We're to stand. We're to fasten ourselves to Christ, who is a rock, who is an anchor, who is our high tower. Well, you certainly do this in times of crisis, but we should also do it in times of joy. To look to and remember the straight course set forth at baptisms, the water and the Holy Ghost. What happens next weekend? Next Sunday? It is sacrament, isn't it? It is sacrament. I want you to take time to look back and to remember your commitment to the body of Christ, but more importantly, your covenant with Jesus Christ. I want you to remember how straight and pure and clean you felt at that time. To look back and remember the straight course set at baptisms, the water and the Holy Ghost. To remember that. Why do you want to look back and remember? What does it say in the Book of Mormon? That as we remember, we witness to the Father that we have taken on His name, that we remember Christ. And what is the promise? To have His Spirit within. It is a promise that is full. Why should you look back and at something that has already taken place? You have a better perspective of where you're heading. Where you're heading. Turn to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. For those of you that are dozing off because of the length of the... and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. How many ways are there into heaven, into eternal life? It's only one. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And it is Christ that makes that way possible. Why does it say, make his paths straight? To me, my path is not the same as yours. I don't work at the same place. I wasn't born of the same parents. I didn't receive the same education. I wasn't privy to the same benefits. Or maybe I had more than you. My path is not the same. But I am to make my path, my life, straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. Those that commit to Christ are to make their path straight in Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You're not quite done, Steve. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. to make straight paths for your feet, to choose right, to allow a spiritual cruise control, a better understanding of spiritual traffic jams and what it takes to avoid those. Hesitation, undecidedness, distractions, and we find those on every side. To know who you're committed to, who you've covenanted with, where you're headed, where your hope, where your trust is. To know who makes it sure to avoid spiritual traffic jams. What do we need in the Church of Christ? I've heard a brother say that we need spiritual gifts. Pray for those. I've heard others look around and say, we don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Look for them. Watch for them. Be expectant of them. But if you were going to look at the gifts, the fruits, and the virtues, the one that you are responsible for working on in a day-to-day your life are the virtues. Work on the virtues. Establish them one by one in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your hope, within your soul. To the point that you don't have to work on them. They are second nature. Work on the virtues, and what happens? The Spirit will find greater residence within you. And is not fruit born of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit? And as we work on virtues and allow the fruits of the Spirit to develop, God to bless us with, will He not give gifts? Will He not give spiritual gifts? I think so. But the choice is yours, the choice is mine. And He told us that today. Men are that they might have joy. Joy in Christ. The choice is yours, the choice is mine. Simply put, stay out of traffic. Thank you. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. How many ways are there into heaven, into eternal life? It's only one. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And it is Christ that makes that way possible. Why does it say, make his path straight? To me, my path is not the same as yours. I don't work at the same place. I wasn't born of the same parents. I didn't receive the same education. I wasn't privy to the same benefits. Or maybe I had more than you. My path is not the same, but I am to make my path, my life, straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Those that commit to Christ are to make their path straight in Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You're not quite done, Steve. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. To make straight paths for your feet. To choose right. To allow a spiritual cruise control. a better understanding of spiritual traffic jams and what it takes to avoid those? Hesitation, undecidedness, distractions, and we find those on every side. To know who you're committed to, who you've covenanted with, where you're headed, where your hope, where your trust is. To know who makes it sure to avoid spiritual traffic jams. What do we need in the Church of Christ? I've heard a brother say that we need spiritual gifts. Pray for those. I've heard others look around and say, we don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Look for them. Watch for them. Be expectant of them. But if you were going to look at the gifts, the fruits, and the virtues, the one that you are responsible for working on in a day-to-day, your life, are the virtues. Work on the virtues. Establish them one by one in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your hope, within your soul. To the point that you don't have to work on them. They are second nature. Work on the virtues, and what happens? The Spirit will find greater residence within you. And is not fruit born of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit. And as we work on virtues and allow the fruits of the Spirit to develop, God to bless us with, will He not give gifts? Will He not give spiritual gifts? I think so. But the choice is yours, the choice is mine. Andy told us that today. Men are that they might have joy. Joy in Christ. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Simply put, stay out of traffic. Thank you. I don't see anybody smiling out there. Oh, there's a few out there. And I do stand in need of those. As I sought the Lord's direction, what I might bring this evening to you in the scriptures, the thoughts, there were several. What seemed to tie them together was a traffic jam. How many of you enjoy driving? I see a few hands out there. You know, my dad told me when I was learning to drive that there would come a time in my life when I wouldn't care whether I drove a car or not. And I looked at him and I thought, this old guy's crazy. It's fun to drive, and it still is. But there are times in life when we hit a traffic jam, and I'm not talking about a wreck by the side or road construction that you can understand. I'm talking about a traffic jam that slows you down, inconveniences you, that's a hard one to say, until you get up there, and there's nothing around. Now, I understand traffic jams. I understand what causes them. This, your pastor, does not understand them. He comes up to a traffic jam, and I've tried to explain several times to him that if there is a hesitation on anybody's part, it's multiplied by each car behind. A hesitation, an indecision, a distraction of any sort. It's multiplied by the cars that immediately follow, and it compounds to where it's seconds, minutes, sometimes hours, that you're inconvenienced. Steve doesn't understand that, but I do. Now, I think the Lord placed this traffic jam upon my mind that I might bring these scriptures together that we might better understand spiritually some of the jams we find ourselves in. And we do find ourselves in jams from time to time. The road we drive on is the same. The number of cars is the same. But the speed slows down. And spiritually, it's the same way from time to time. Another thing that the Lord placed upon my heart as I thought what I might bring is in the mornings, about every other morning I empty the water buckets that have the squeegees that you clean your windshield with. If you don't, they start to stick. And dump those pails out on the asphalt. And I'm sure each of you have thrown a container of water out on asphalt or driveway and have watched it go down the slope in rivulets. Sometimes it comes together. Sometimes it dissipates and comes back together. But there's always some left behind also. But as long as that slope continues, whichever way that water is influenced, it'll go that way. And it establishes each one of those molecules of water have a commonality one with the other. They're influenced by the slope, the porousness of the texture that the water is placed upon. Spiritually, we're the same way too. A group of people in the world are influenced by the pressures of the world, and they come together, they dissipate, some are left behind, some surge forward. A group of people in the world. But you, having come out this night, are not a group of people in the world. This is a body of Christ. We have assembled in the name of Jesus Christ, and this church bears His name. We studied about that in Sunday school this morning. This is the church of Christ. This body of Christ should not be unduly influenced by pressures from without, by the slope of the world. We shouldn't be influenced by those. What we should be influenced by is the love of Christ. The love of Christ that He has given to each one of you. That second song that we sang, what was it, 322? I'm going to lose all my notes and hopefully not my thoughts. The voice of Jesus has spoken to each of us. And He had a clear message. Each of you that have responded to that message have come out of the world. The pressures of the world. Well, you still feel them. You're still distracted by them. You're still inconvenienced by them from time to time. But they should not necessarily influence your spiritual life. Your spiritual growth, if you will. A body of Christ should not be unduly influenced by the world. They should be influenced by the Spirit. Spirit. The Spirit moving within this body of Christ, the Spirit that I sought to place upon my heart, the words. And I pray that the Lord will enable me by the power of that Spirit to deliver His words to you. And that you, each of you, will receive them into your heart and grow. And not be influenced by the pressures of the world, the slope of the world, the jams of the world. A body of Christ should be influenced by the will of God. The will of God. Christ has not a will of His own. He listens to the will of His Heavenly Father. We, in turn, have given our will over to Christ, and that will is given over to the Father. A body of Christ listens to the will of God, is responsive to the will of God, should not be distracted by the world, inconvenienced by the world, should not be undecided or hesitate because of the world. Turn in your Book of Mormons to Mosiah, the 9th chapter, page 259. And we find here a body of people that made that commitment one to the other. And they made a covenant with their Lord Jesus Christ. With their Lord Jesus Christ. Page 259, I'd like to start reading with verse 37. And He did teach them, this is Alma, and did preach unto them repentance and redemption and faith on the Lord. And I would hope within the Church of Christ there is not one minister that fails to commit to these three. Redemption, repentance, and faith on the Lord. And it came to pass that He said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And another place in the Scriptures, it talks about these very waters of Mormon, and it talks about the beauty that they contained. Each of you were baptized not in the waters of Mormon, in rivers and ponds and streams and creeks and founts, lakes, some the ocean. But yet there was still a special beauty within that body of water, for that body of water held the same promise as it did here for those that believe. And the promise is that as you lay yourself down, as you come out a new creature and hands are laid upon you, what happens? It says that you come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people here desired that. And Alma went on to say, verse 39, "And now as you are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life." And as Alma presented these concepts, these ideals, this gospel of Christ to the people, what was their response? Hopefully, it is the same response that you bore. They here said, "This is the desire of our heart. This is what we want. This is what I want to be a part of my life, my hope, and my trust." And I believe within my heart that each of you have made that commitment. I believe that. And it says that they clapped their hands together for the joy that welled up within them. The body of Christ will find His love, His Spirit, and His will. How many of you remember before cruise control on cars? That hadn't been that long ago, really, so you're really not admitting too much. I remember when cruise control first came out, I thought that's just another thing to go wrong. But you know, I wouldn't be without it today. As you get older and you experience the aches, the pains, the stiffness, the soreness, it's kind of nice to be able to shift position. Your center of gravity is quite a bit lower when you're older, I think. When you're younger, you don't experience those difficulties quite as much. But cruise control is great, and I wouldn't be without it. And as you set your vehicle on cruise control, some people are going to pass you. Some people are always in a hurry. You're going to find yourself passing some people also, because there are some that just take entirely too long to get where they want to go. Now, Bob's one of those that speeds around there. Well, not all the time, but sometimes. He'll pass you if you're on cruise control, guaranteed. Cruise control is great, and it'll make a restful trip, and it'll make it as peaceful as possible, but you still have choices along the way. You still have choices even with cruise control. Now, in a traffic jam, there's no free lane, but spiritually speaking, we have a cruise control of sorts spiritually. There's always a free lane that you can put your life in. You can set it on a cruise control. And as I said before, some people are going to pass you. Some people will lag behind, but it's going to make your trip as peaceful in Christ as you can. Turn to Helaman, the second chapter, page 551. Verse 26, "Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God," whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, that doesn't mean